Yeah. But Mordechai Lechovitz,
it's just all the special friends of my mother and all those at Nur, my brother, and others. And the parsha and the poem, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Bnei Yisrael that he would like them to all borrow from the Mitzrayim, from the Egyptians, gold and silver vessels, and take them out of Mitzrayim together with them. Hashem Nosan Eschein Ha'am Ve'enim Mitzrayim Ve'yash Ilum. Hashem granted that the Egyptians saw the Jews favorably and lent them the vessels. Rashi says in the pasuk over here, Kizar Moshe, that Bnei Yisrael did what Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do. And Rashi says, we did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them at the beginning of the parsha. At the beginning of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu said the Jews should borrow each from their friends, play Kesef and play Zot. Why does Rashi have to tell us where they said? It was at the beginning of this week's the same parsha. So then we know that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Bnei Yisrael to borrow. It didn't have to be repeated and explained where it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Moshe Rabbeinu asked Bnei Yisrael to borrow. Vilna Gaon answers this question and explains what Rashi means. Rashi means at the same time explaining an entirely new understanding of the pasuk. In the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael to borrow, he says, "V'yishlu ish meisrei ei v'ish meisrei usa." Let everyone borrow from their friends gold and silver vessels. The Gemara tells us.
Yeah,
to your friends. So, over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people who want to borrow from the Egyptians, why do you call them your friends? The answer is, he said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show them that the Egyptians certainly wouldn't agree to lend the Jews, who are their slaves all these years, their silver and costly garments and utensils. The only way to accomplish that is by arousing a brotherly love among themselves, among the Jews themselves. And when that becomes aroused, and all the Jews are suddenly loving each other, then it'll be contagious in the way that it'll be caught on by the Egyptians also. The Egyptians also will suddenly see them more favorably. That's what the pasuk means. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, let each person borrow from his friend, meaning from his fellow Jew. Be gracious to each other. Lend your fellow Jew expensive items. And then, when the Egyptians see that, or even if they don't see that perhaps, just the feeling of love will spread so that even the Egyptians will suddenly find the Jews favorable in their eyes, and they will not feel disgusted when a Jew asks them for their expensive utensils. To the contrary, they'll feel friendly even with the Jews and give it to them. That's why the pasuk says over here afterwards that the Jews actually did that. It doesn't say they borrowed from their friends. It says Otsu Kitvai Moshe. They did what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Vayishalu Mitzrayim, and they borrowed from the Egyptians. Vashem Nasan Chena Amben Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians saw the Jews favorably. What it means is they did what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and that's what Rashi says. They did what Moshe Rabbeinu said. They borrowed from their friends, meaning from the fellow Jews. And after borrowing from the fellow Jews, then they went and borrowed from the Egyptians, and Hashem put the favor of the Jews in the eyes of the Egyptians. It's a beautiful explanation in the pasuk. But more than that, it's a beautiful approach to life, because it's telling us that when we do the mitzvot of gemilas chasadim, achnasas arachim, of v'ahavta l'reach kamocha, is something that spreads itself, that propagates itself further, and spreads to everyone around us, even to the goyim around us. That is the school of the mitzvah. That's what the mitzvah, the Mishnah says in the beginning of Peah. It says Elazarim Shein Lamshin Elazarim Shazam Oichel Oisa. It says that there are certain mitzvahs that a person could do that he receives the reward for, not only in Olam Haba, but he has peros in Olam Hazeh, and it gives a long list of mitzvahs. Say Adam Lachavero, Kibra Ve'Ein, Niels Kasodim, right? All the mitzvahs that we mentioned in the morning in the beginning of the prayers. And the Rambam explains that what are these peros? Because these peros are that by doing good, we propagate good, such that the other fellow that I did good to, that I showed my love to, now will show his love in return for me. And these are the peros, and it will go further, and each one will pass it on to the next one. The truth is that you can see this if a person does a mitzvah out of love. The love attracts other people to the same. However, if a person would do the mitzvah only because he says, Hashem commanded me that I've got to invite people into my house if they need a place to sleep, all right, I'll do it. It's not going to have the same effect. It's not going to spread. But how actually are we supposed to do the mitzvahs? Are we supposed to do the mitzvahs because we want to spread love, because we love our friends, because we feel such a closeness to every Jewish brother and to every creation of Hashem? Are we supposed to do it because Hashem said that's what you got to do, so that's what we do? So this question is a big question. It's discussed not only by Akonim but by Rishonim. It's discussed by the Rambam. The Rambam in Shmona Prachim, in the beginning of Avot Perek Shishi, asked the contradiction between what he learned in his philosophy lessons and between what he saw in the words of Chazal. He says, Chazal tell us everything should be done Moshem Shemayim. Chazal tell us there's even a medrash that says when a person doesn't eat non-kosher animals, when a person doesn't wear kilayim, he shouldn't say, I don't like non-kosher animals, they're not tasty, they're not healthy. He shouldn't say, it's not comfortable to wear kilayim. He should say, I really would love to eat those things and to wear those things, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to, so I'm not going to. It says, in fact, the Pumstaira Agra, the amount that a person invests in overcoming his will to sin, is going to add to his reward. Sounds like a person is supposed to fight against himself in order to do the will of Hashem. But he says, the philosophers tell us that that's not the best way to serve God. The highest form of good is when a person just loves to do good. It's when a person doesn't have to fight against himself every time he wants to help out a friend, but when it just comes pouring out of him, it's natural to him. The Rambam says this is not a contradiction. There are two different types of mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs that are what we call chukim. He had a different word for it. We call chukim, and there's mitzvahs that we call mishpatim. Mishpatim are mitzvahs that are very logical, make a lot of sense. Basically, the mitzvahs say another l'chavero, how to love another person, what to do in order to propagate good. And then there are mitzvahs that a person is told to do, but he has no idea why. Of course, there's books and books written about the reasons for the mitzvahs, but in the final analysis, we don't really understand why you can't wear kilayim, and why a person can't eat certain animals based on the simonim, the signs that Hashem gave us, what we could eat, what we can't. It's true, there's all sorts of reasons that we could give, but the Torah just says don't do it. And those mitzvahs that we wouldn't have thought of on our own, those mitzvahs, as the Rambam best is, to do exactly what Chazal say, I really wouldn't mind eating these non-kosher animals, I have nothing against it, but What can I do? Hashem told me not to. I'm going to do it because I'm overcoming my will. But when it comes to the other mitzvahs, this is the other chaveiro, then certainly a person is on the higher level if he wants to do them. That's what Chazal are referring to, and that's why the examples given in the Medrash that say that a person has to overcome his will, the examples are not to wear tzayim, not to eat the dvar tzayim. It's not the same as mitzvot that are in fact, some explain that's why we don't make a mitzvah when we give tzedakah to an ami, when we do bikur cholim, when we do achnasas torah, and we don't make a mitzvah. Why? It's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but we can't say Hashem is shonim v'zadov is shonim. We're not doing it because we want to say we're only doing it because Hashem told us to do it. Hashem sanctified us with a mitzvah, said we should do it. Over here, Hashem, it's not that we're doing it because we want to do it. We're doing it because we know that Hashem wants us to improve ourselves and to want to love our friends. Hashem wants us to build up this love inside of us for our friends by doing these mitzvahs. So, of course, we're doing everything because Hashem said. But what Hashem said by the mitzvah is that I picked these things because I want you to love each other. So that's what the Mishnah in Ovos says, Hefei Talmid of Shel Hillel, Oyev Shalom, Roid of Shalom, Oyevus Abriyas, Umakarvan Lotayra. Oyevus Abriyas, Umakarvan Lotayra, meaning when others see how much we love them, that also gives us the added advantage that through that they're going to become closer to the Torah. It's not that we love them and we give everything of our own to them because we're going to be Makarvan them, but it was Oyevus Abriyas and Mamela. People said, I'm a friend of someone like Aaron Akoyan, I'm going to do this terrible Avera, how can I do it? So that's Ayvus Abriyas from Karvan Lutzer. My mother has exuded such a will to help others, to do for others, to do whatever she can. When it came to Hakhnasa Sarakim, there's so many people that my mother gave them the key to the house and said, hey, just come in whenever you want. People that were visiting from a foreign country that they knew that they wanted to help. When he walked into the house, there always was the food that my mother had prepared. If she knew you were coming, then she prepared the special food that you liked, or the special food that she knew that you would eat more than other foods. If there are a number of guests, then each one would be kept in mind to make sure that she has this one's diet and that one's diet. And she loved that. She loved preparing, even when she was in her later years, it was getting harder. And we say, look, you know, you want to entertain, you want to make something for a large group, for the family that's coming. We'll prepare things. It wouldn't happen. She would be way ahead of us. She always had the freezer full of soups that she could take out and give to people that would walk in unexpected. And then she'd have all the dishes she'd prepare in advance. Before Pesach, she'd prepare cakes to give out to, Pesach cakes to give out to all of those that she could give it to. And she had a tremendous good side. And this showed also in her everyday relations, wherever she was. So many people came in during the Shiva and told us, what a smile. What a nice countenance, how she makes me feel good just because she's so happy and she's so good. So that's something that certainly there are many, many things that I could learn and hope to learn from my mother and from the things she taught us. But just to pick one thing, that's something that's so important and that's something that's so necessary in Klal Yisrael, especially when there are different things happening in politics and we watch the news and see about the fighting here and the fighting there. It upset my mother tremendously that how come you don't see more access among us? Truth is that, of course, the newspaper reporters have to emphasize that in order to sell the newspapers, but the truth is there's a lot more love in Klal Yisrael and there's the opposite. And the more that we're able to spread it, just because we love each other, because we want to help each other, and because we're not looking to criticize each other, but to help each other grow in Avodas Hashem, So the more that we do that, the more it'll spread directly and even indirectly, like we saw in the Vilna Gaon about the Egyptians, and it'll spread not only to the people around us, but even to the Goyim that see us and everyone around us. My mother gave me and my brothers everything we have. She's the one that my mother and my father sent us to yeshiva. They sent us away to Eretz Yisrael. We were away for many years when we were during our growing years. It wasn't a big family like my parents had a house full of children. They sent us away. They encouraged us in our growth in Torah and in everything else they were doing in terms of Avodas Hashem. They did everything they could to help us, and they kept, of course, trying to nudge us in the right way when they saw us doing something that they felt wasn't the way that a person is supposed to go. And of course, we might have thought at the time, well, we know better, but we learned very quickly that they did know better. My parents intuitively knew what a person is supposed to do, even in Avodas Hashem, and that's something that we're always going to be tremendously grateful to my parents for, and to my mother, who always would direct us in the right way to serve Hashem. I'll turn the mic over to the next speaker. Everyone, Melech? Are you online? Are you online now? Rabbi Alperin?
Yes, I'm here. Okay.
Go ahead, Rabbi Alperin.
Okay. Because Marino Harav, Gaon Reb Mordechai, everything that we say this evening should be Le'il Nishmas Ha'isha HaGdoyla Gittel Vasuet Yisrael Shimon HaLevi Le'ilu Nishmasam V'Gan Eden Tehem Benukosam. When Rav Kornfeld Shita asked me to speak, the intention was to say something as a chizuk in tefillah, which I hope will be the Nishmas for Mrs. Kornfeld, and also as a chizuk for the tefillah as well. Not necessarily directly corrected Mrs. Kornfeld, but the words which we say and the chizuk which people will get from it, I hope, will be in itself an ilu neshama and also a chizuk for everybody in business. It's interesting that we see at the present time almost like history is living itself again. Almost the conditions of we're going back to Parshas Bishalach, and we're again by the Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael again are standing by the Yamsuf, and we're in the same position of Yonasi b'chagvei hasela v'seisa hamadrega. We feel like the dove, Klal Yisrael compared to the dove, who's hiding behind the rock, who's hidden behind the steps, and she's in tremendous danger. And the Chazal explained, the Medrash brings down, that at this point, the Klal Yisrael were faced with an incredibly difficult situation. In front of them, they saw the sea which was waiting up in front of them, and behind they turned around and they saw the best cavalry in the world, 600 chariots, which were chasing after them. There's a Medrash, to the right, they saw lions and tigers and animals which were fighting. To the left, they saw scorpions and snakes. They had nowhere to go. And then, say Chazal, they looked up to Shemayim, and they saw the Sa'ar Shomala, and they were terrified, because they saw 600,000 Malachi Chabola, angels of destruction, who were there to persecute and condemn Klal Yisrael. And they were in tremendous danger. We feel we're in the same position ourselves at the point. Who knows what's happening outside Israel, from behind us, from in front of us, to the right, in Iran, in America, who knows what the Zaylas will be brought out the Alayna against them. We feel in the position of the Yoyna and the Seis Ahmad Rega. We turn to our Kodesh Baruch Hu and he calls out to us again, Harini es marayich, hashmini es koylech. Show me your face, show me your actions. Let me hear your voice, ki koylech olev, umarech noveh. Your voice is very pleasant and your appearance is very beautiful. Says the Rumor Gaon. Do again what you did before.
Again, what you did before.
Do again what you did previously, and let's see exactly what was. Klal Yisrael called out again by Yitzhak of the show, and they called out. I hope I'm being heard. and they called out Sukkah Yitzhak Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then Rashi explained, by Tzadu Bnei Yisrael, Topsu Umnes Avoyzbom. They seized and they snatched hold of the expertise of the Ovis HaKadosh. Avraham Avinu Davin, as we know, HaMokhen and HaMoriah, Yitzhak Rasuach Vasode, and Yaakov HaYitka HaMokhen, Topsu, they seized the expertise. And they themselves went to we learn from this an enormous lesson that there is such a thing called an umnus in Chagis world, an expert in Chagis world. And that was the big merit that made them stay on
the statement.
That name, which is called. But everybody knew themselves to be in Chagis. Tzadisol was zoicha to an incredible name, and they were zoicha to see dry land in front of them, and they forged ahead. And we know that this is the skill which we need to obtain. This is the skill, the expertise which we have to try and snatch. The problem is that quite likely what we do is the yodata hayom. We know about it, but how much is it for hashivoyisar rovecha? How much is it actually applied into our lives? How much is we actually feel it in our heart? In the words of the Alter from Kel, how much is it a garin, which is nishrash, which is embedded inside our neshamas? How much of it we actually feel it ourselves? To be nishrash, and we realize that the koyach of tefillah that we have is really the greatest of Yeshua which we have. And that's the in which we have to come out. Which we must come out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do it again. Do again what you did at Yam Suf. Call again. And we see that tefillah was a catalyst. It caused the enormous Yeshua of that Yisrael. And that's what we're hoping for in our position which we're on at the moment. And this is where our chizuk lies. What we have to try and do is when we come to our prayers and we come to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we must try and put all our soul into it and put our whole neshama into our prayer. It's an umnus, it's an expertise which we have. What we have to try and do is understand what's behind it, what's the basis of it. The Gemara in Sukkah explains that Omar Nimshadu Tfilosan Shel Tzadikim La'atar. Why is it that the tefillah of tzaddikim is compared to a pitchfork? A pitchfork, it means that the pitchfork overturns the situation. It says the Gemara that the farmer goes down into the field and he sees that the wheat on top is dry and the wheat underneath is wet. And he sees that in order to make the wheat underneath, he turns it over. And therefore, tefillah is called a natar, a pitchfork. It turns over a situation from the status quo to a new situation. And that's the greatness what prayer can do. Prayer can turn over a situation from a given to an entirely different situation or circumstances. That's the nature that we have to understand. And therefore we find by Yitzchak and Rivka, by Yeretai Yitzchak the Noichach Yishroi, Yitzchak entreated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the word again, atar. Atar means to turn over a situation. He entreated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Pasuk says, Rivka Akorish, she was an Akorish, she was a never giver. So the next was Batar Rivka, and then Rivka became pregnant. We see that from the circumstances of Atar, of entreating, of turning it over, the situation changed. And that was the great miracle of prayer. That's the expertise which he applied. You find it also by Hannah, if you remember, when Hannah gave birth to Shmuel. And Shmuel was actually Chayav Nisa. And Eli turned back to Hannah and said, I'm afraid this child will have to go. You won't be able to keep this child. We'll get you another child. And Hannah turned around and said, No. El Hanar Hazeh is Palaut. This is the child I davened for. Meaning, says the Radal, this child is saturated with my prayers. I put all my prayers. I don't want another child. This child is everything to me. I put my prayers into it. She saw the results of her efforts through prayer. And that's what we have to try and move on to. We have to be able to understand what's the basis of prayer. Prayer turns over a situation, and to realize through our tefillah, which we give all the time to the situation that we're in, and the pandemic, and also the international situation, in order to understand that the prayer turns over a situation. There is a beautiful comment which was made by Rav Chaim Greinem, the Chassidic Bevorcha. He was sitting one day with his uncle, the Chazon Ish, at the table. And the Chazon Ish was quiet, and the Chaim was sitting quietly with him. And then the Chazon Ish spoke up, and the Chazon Ish turned around and said, how amazing it is, I can actually talk to him. Ani yatush natush. Ani, I'm nothing. I've more than millions and billions of people in creation. I can talk to him? How can I possibly talk to him? The Chazon Ish went into silence, the kind Rehman said, a few minutes later the Chazon Ish then said, and he hears me. He hears me. How can it be that he hears me? How can it be? And all that's going on in the world, how can he possibly hear me? And then the Chazon Ish went again into silence, and then he turned around and said, Ma noira havoidah tefillah, how great is the havoidah tefillah? It turns over as it is able to
change.
And said the Chazon Ish, and if it's good for me, then grant me my request. That's the greatness of it. What we have to understand is there is a very powerful agent which we have, and that's called the umnas of Klanisler. The umnas is the expertise to be able to turn over a situation, change it from the status quo. After all, Rabbi Yisrael, that's what we keep on doing every Rosh Hashanah. No, we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch and we ask, we try and move him over. We can say such a thing, but the Kisei Hadin, which we say Rachamim, that's our whole Avodah. Why, there are other mitzvahs which we could do on Rosh Hashanah. No, but even though Talmud Torah Kenev Kulam, the power of prayer is enormous. It turns over a situation from the given into a new situation. And we help HaKadosh Baruch look at us through the eyes of Rachamim. That's the ability that we have inside. But every single expertise that we're explaining, understanding what the illness is of prayer, every expertise that we have, there are always certain tools of the trade. And we have to understand, if we're going to be professionals that are expertise, what are the tools of the trade? What exactly are the tools of a profession? A professional is quite different from an amateur. An amateur in prayer maybe will just say off the word and you won't have much concentration behind it. A professional understands the tools of the trade. What are the tools? I'll give you an example. A professional photographer looks at the setting, looks at the lighting, looks at the position of everything. An amateur just clicks on the camera. A professional takes everything into consideration. And therefore, when we understand the tools, the setting, and the structure of prayer, we can understand like this. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who gave us the format of prayer that we have instead of the Korbanot that we have, they understood that there's certain structure that must be given in order to pray successfully. I'll give you an example. Supposing a person comes to pray, and there's no alone a sick person in the family. Someone is not well. And your whole intention of coming to daven is to daven for that sick person. But until you get there, you have to go through a whole procedure. First of all, you have to start with Birchas HaShachar and the Brachot. Then you go on to all the phrase of Sukkot Zimra, so say Echad Yoderot, Hanashoma Tahalilcha. It's all phrases, it's all gratitude, it's all appreciation. Then you come on to Birchas Kriyat Shema, the light that we have on the firmament and all the skies. Then we come on to Birchas Kaseire, which we have in Abba Rabba. And then Kabbalah's on Abba Shemaim. But you still have in your mind, you're asking for a choyle. You haven't come to the time. You have to go through a whole procedure. And the tools of the trade are to start and go through the whole mechanics of praise and appreciation by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then you come to Ezra's, which is connecting Mitzrayim to the prayer which you have so little and sinner. And then when you start Shemana Esrei, still you can't come to your request yet. The whole order of the prayer is that first of all you must say Shevach and Hezor, the first three brachos, and then you eventually come onto a Fa'eni, meaning the schedule of the prayer is all based in structure and I have appreciation and thanks that we have. And that's the nature when we come to that. After all, that's what a Yubadi is, no? A Yubadi is Lahaidois. And therefore, the nature of prayer, when we come to daven, we must appreciate what it means to, first of all, say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we can make our request. It's not a diplomatic maneuver. It's not currying favor with Hashem. No, it's a mindset. Our first thoughts must be, first of all, of how, when we come to prayer, of what exactly we're appreciating and what our gratitude is for. And then, eventually, we can come and express our praise, which our request, which we have later on. If you look carefully at the beautiful prayer, for example, of Nishmat, which we say on Shabbos Kodesh, if you didn't notice, there is inside, tucked in Nishmat, one request which we have. One request. But you don't come to it straight away. First of all, you explain, Eino Milvadoi, Mivadach Eino Numelech, Hamanego Lama Bethesda, Gubarachamim. These are all the introductions to the request that we made. Hilufilo Mele Shira Kayon, and we go through the list in Mitzrayim Gyal Tolu, Mideva Melatisholu, and then, Adhena Azavunu Rachamecha, Balei Azavunu Chasadecha, until now, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you give me, I appreciate everything that you have. And then, squeeze in, Al Tichreinu Hashem Alakena Netzah. There's the request. Please never leave it. It's a format, it's a structure that we must understand when we come to pray. The tools of the trade or the expertise are, which the Anshei Knesset HaGdola showed us, is that in order to come to pray successfully, you must first of all understand the order. A Yehudi shows, expresses thanks. And the thanks is the primary and exactly the world. And the block is achieving such a long every day, the world is concentrating and giving a shiur on every single brother to show the appreciation. That's what they're at. Therefore, the expertise, the goodness of affair is the ability to make the ranks. The greatness of our prayer is also Achenu b'nei Yisrael and Nefilim b'Atzor u'Bashiv. Our greatest request at the time of the corona, of all that's going on in Kaddish world, is the concern that we must have for other people. And Mrs. Kornfeld, Alei Shalom, I knew her not as well as many other people did, but I know for sure, people told me, based off the Sucha of the Rafa, the Tzorke Am from the Rubin, as the Mordechai has just said to us, her home is a home for everybody. She opened up and gave tremendous presence to everybody. She had a tremendous power of Hanashama. And that power of Hanashama, ability to give over to everybody, her care for everybody, her prayer was a prayer for Achim B'nai Yisrael, Hanashama B'Asol B'Ashiva. She showed tremendous care and concern for other people. I was thinking to myself, when I used to think, I used to give a shia in Lechavia, and this is Kornfeld that Al Shem used to come over to me and put a microphone on my lapel when I was giving the shia. I said, well, what's this for? She said, for other people to listen to the shia afterwards. Her concern was always for other people. She was made on that basis. That was the power of her neshama behind it. You know, the Sefer says in Chaya Olam that really the quality of chayin, as the Mordechai just spoken about, is a matzona from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Pasuk says, Hashem Nosan Chein Ha'om Be'in in Mitzrayim, this is the greatest quality which I think which Mrs. Kornfeld that I had. Her Chein was phenomenal. And Chein came from the Taras HaMishpacha. Of all, I think the word Gittel maybe comes from the word Buta, no Toba, Lahitiv. She was a woman who was Lahitiv to Kura. She cared for everybody. Her care for everybody else. And that chayin was a gift that she received from her Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because of her nature, she passed it. Everything she had, she was mated for everybody, what she had. Of course, we ourselves in the community, we receive the payos from all this. Where does the kindness of the nice of all which the world has, which she shows everybody, it all comes from the tree of Mrs. Kornfeld and her husband, her dear husband, Olav Hashanah. The two of them together, the people who gave so much, and we themselves, we reap the great benefits of Mordechai, of Zafa Yoni. They are people who are there for Tzorke and for the Rubin, for all the needs of Klal Yisrael. And this is the point in our prayer. Our prayer should focus on the needs of others. If we're going to learn the umnas well, if we're going to be professionals, as we're supposed to be, if that's what they did at the Yamsuf, we ourselves have to learn the umnas. The umnas is the care for other people, the empathy which they have. This is what this is called about. This is what we receive also from the world themselves. What we might not know, though, however, is quite likely, we don't realize what it means to daven for somebody else. What is a prayer when we come to daven for other people, which we must have uppermost in our mind in all the sorrows which people are going through, the difficulties which people have. Let me share with you, yesterday I was standing at the chuppah of the Yeshua Levinson, who made the chuppah, and I was standing next to Rav Avraham Jacobson Shliva. And she told me the following, let me share it with you. Rav Avraham told me, someone in his mishpacha, lo aleinu, suffered tremendously from corona. And he was in a coma, he was completely out, and someone in his mishpacha, and they were very, very sick indeed. And when they woke up afterwards, after weeks I think it was, after being unconscious under Hanshama, they said that they had seen, in the time that they were unconscious, their neshama which was above them. And they realized that the neshama was floating above them, and the white sheet was spread over their bodies, over his body. And he realized what was happening. But he realized that he wasn't going to die because his feet were still uncovered. His feet were uncovered. And as he saw his feet were uncovered, he saw orange arrows shooting to the right of him, filling up by the side of his, on the right side of his bed, and he saw orange arrows on the left of his side of his bed. And on each arrow was the tefillah which people were saying for him. Unbelievable, nice, no? He saw all that was happening, all the prayers which were being given, which were being offered on his behalf. He saw the orange arrows, and then he woke up and he told everybody, this is what he saw when he was in a coma with the corona. It's incredible, nice of it. The prayers that we give are like orange arrows which shoot to support someone, all that we do for other people. course, one of the most beautiful maisim that we see when it means to daven for other people is the maisa in the Navi in Shaitin. The maisa is told that Tali Yisrael were under tremendous troubles from the Midian. The Midian came forward and Tali Yisrael were under tremendous oppression. And a malach came to Gidon. It's in Shaitin Pei Vav. The malach appeared in front of Gidon, and Gidon said to the malach as follows, Vayeh olav malach Hashem, vayeh me'elav Gidon, fi Adonim, v'yesh Hashem imonu. Gidon said to the malach, is Hashem with us? Is it possible? V'loma matzosonu kozos, why do we have so many difficulties? Ayeh kom nifloisav asher sifulon avosenu leima, halam mitzrayim helon Hashem. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Where's all the greatness? Where's all the kindness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? Where's the niflaus? Why are we in such a situation?
We're coming to Sparta, we're coming from Jim, so...
Saying as follows. Last night, my father explained to us all about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything was going on in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Gidon turned around and said to the Malach as follows, if they in Mitzrayim were greater than us, then Hashem, you must surely save us in their sphere. And if we are greater than they who came out of Mitzrayim, then look what you did to Mitzrayim, you must certainly save us. You must certainly save us. Either way, I win. Either in their sphere or in our sphere. And the Pasuk then says afterwards, Vayipen Hashem, not the Malach, Vayipen Hashem, then Hashem then turned around, Eloh Hashem, Vayem Elav Leif, because half of you, from Shatah Yisrael, you Gidon have just saved Tal Yisrael. By davening for Tal Yisrael and the Lamed Sus on them, you have just saved Tal Yisrael. Meaning the power of davening, of asking for other people, you save all of Tal Yisrael. And that's the oneness that he was trying to develop. The ability to daven and think of others, for Shatah Yisrael, you can save Tal Yisrael by davening for them and caring for them. Last night, just to check on this Maisa, I spoke to Hagon of Yitzhak Ezrachi. I remember hearing in the Mir a wonderful Maisa about the Chaim Shmulevitz. The Chaim Shmulevitz, every single Erev Yom Kippur, would go down to Yad Avsholem and stand at the grave of Avsholem and say as follows. Every year he did the same thing. I discussed it last night with Yitzhak. He said to me as follows. He would stand at the Kever Avsholem and say as follows. Yivonah Shalom, Dovin HaMelech lifted up Avsholem from Gehinnom and said the word Bani, Bani, seven times, and took him from Gehinnom all the way up to Gan Eden by saying Bani, Bani. You see what a father can do? Says Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim said, Yivonah Shel Olam, you are Avinu Malkeinu, you are our father. And therefore tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are Avinu, you can lift us up completely, you can change us completely. And that is what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz did every single Erev Yom Kippur. He davened to Klal Yisrael at Yad Avsholem, tiring that if David HaMelech could do that, and he was the father of Avsholem, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, of course you can do that, you can save us from us. Meaning, our emphasis at such times for Acheinu B'nei Yisrael. Perhaps we can say it in this way. You know, the pasuk that we say at the end of Benchim, Na ha'isi v'gamso kanti, v'lo ha'isi tzadik ne'ezor. I was a child, and I never saw a tzadik deserted. The person would turn around and say, I did. Back in Shlachem, I did. You see, it's sad sometimes without food. What does it mean? And the meaning is, the lady once told me in Chicago, and was a beautiful explanation. It means as follows. It means, like Esther turned around and said, Ki echacha ucha v'ra'isi es haro she'yimso es ami. How can I possibly see what's happening to people? Echacha ucha v'ra'isi es eretz mo'lavisi. How can I stand by without dabbling by people? How can I go on in this situation? I'm not faithful, I'm not careful. Meaning, my responsibility is for my people. That's what Esther said to Ahasuerus. I cannot bear to see it. I must daven for them. Surely my boy's saying, to be the umness of the other situation, what we must try and do is care for them, at least daven for people, at least be careful for people. And that's what Mrs. Kornfeld did all the time. She cared for them. She might not have been able to help in a direct way, but certainly in a direct way, I'm sure, she prayed for them and cared for people in the greatest possible way. If we can do this, then maybe I can conclude with one of the great milas I find in davening in the Grot on Shabbos morning. In many places, they don't sing Anin Zemiras. But one of the great highlights for me is Afro and Afro and Chavit in the Gur. One of the children come forward and they sing Anin Zemiras. Anin Zemiras is the most beautiful, beautiful song written by Yehuda HaChosid. Inside Anin Zemiras, our boys say, this Shabbat, if you're in the Gur, listen to these words. Yisboer bi, ki chofeis bi. Vohu yihiyan li, la'ateres tzvi. It means as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous glory in me, Yisboer bi, ki chofeis bi. Because he has great desire for me. He gains tremendous cover from me. Vohu yihiyan li, and he is for me a crown of pride. It means as follows. For my actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands back and says, oh, look what they're doing. They're dazzling to me. The great cover which I am being given. What's happening in the world? Everybody's bothered about the corona and the vaccine and the politics and everything that's happening. But Klal Yisrael turned to me. Yisboer bi. The greatest possible Kiddush Hashem is that we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask him, please help us in these situations. We don't just rely on the vaccine. We don't just rely on the mask. It's not that. It's much more than that. We show tremendous kavod in Kiddush Hashem by asking for Klal Yisrael. And therefore you can say about those, Yihi Chavoyed Hashem Lo'olam Yitzmacha Hashem B'Maaso. If we stand there with the fullness of the obvious acceleration of our respect, and we daven and be careful people, then we're capable of creating a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kikoylech Mare U'Marech Noveh, your voice is so pleasant to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up for us, and the dry land will come in front of us. And all the great miracles that we saw by Rivka and Chana, and what the high guide was saying about Chazit, all these things are reality. We have to embed it inside us. And that's what Mrs. Kornfeld had. She was in her lifetime tremendous Melech Yoshe for people in many different ways, with her home, in her charity, with her husband, and she prayed for people, looked after people in a very beautiful way, from my understanding and that's what I've heard about her. She was a Melech Yoshe in her lifetime. We're asking her, Mrs. Kornfeld, Aleich Shalom, when you're in Shomayim, you should be a Melech Yoshe for your family, for Reb Mordechai, from Abel Melech, and for the other son as well, I don't know so well. Be a Melech Yoshe for your family, for all your children, for the new Kalah, Baruch Hashem, in the family. Rebetzin, be a Melech Yoshe for all the Kehillah. There were people in the Kehillah who were sick, who were not well. The people who are not well, children who are not well in the Kehillah. We're asking you, just like you were a Melech Yoshe, Mrs. Kornfeld, in your lifetime, carry on and be a Melech Yoshe for all the talent, for the people in the Kehillahs, and the Talmidim of the Mordechai and the Daf HaYomi and the Kehillah, the Mordechai and the Ben Melech, all these things that the Rav does for the Kehillah. Be a Melech Yoshe for the sick people, for the people who need great help, for the Kalas who need a Shidduch, for the businessmen who need Parnassah, for the Avodim who don't have means to support themselves. You were a Melech Yoshe in your lifetime, carry on. We ask you, with our umness, with our great expertise which we're using, Hashminias Kailech, listen to your voice. I've got a shock, so listen to your voice. And you should be a Melech Yoshe, our famous name as well. Hanasunim, Vatsoro, Uvashiva, Hayuzim, Bein Bayom, Bein Bayabosha. Hamokim Yerachim, Alev, Yotzi'im. Mitzoro, Levocha, Me'afele, La'elo, and Yeshiva, Yudula. Tashlo, Bagolo, Yitman, Korim, and Mal, Amen.
The prayer
of Yodis
and Alperin for the Yudhizot. Very fitting for my mother. I know she loved your shiurim also. I remember in the last days when we thought that her mind wasn't even 100% with her, she put these shiurim in her ears, put herself to sleep at night, and I was sure she wasn't listening to anything, just something to calm herself down. But always the next morning she would tell me over what she heard in the course of the night. I couldn't believe it. But I just want to say a few short words. It's a big schus to have us all together from all over the world right now. I think this is all something very fitting for my mother, Yitzhak Bas Yisrael Shimon HaLevi Aleiha Shalom. I think one of the central points in her life were relationships. It was so important for her sustaining and nurturing and building relationships with everybody. Started with the family, with us, always caring for us, all three of us, me, Mordechai, and Ari, and as we all know, we're not all the same, but she gave everybody as much as she can, from her wisdom, from her love, from her care, and even though my hair is getting gray, but till the last days of her life, she was giving me sound and good advice, and care and love, and I think we all say that. All the different people in her life that she was caring for, the different people she used to care for or visit. all the friends from many, many years before, she sustained the relationships. The truth is, when my father, Zichron Levracha, passed away, it broke her completely, because she was so close to him that she couldn't believe that it's possible to live without that. And it was a real feeling. But together with that, as long as she was alive, she realized that she had that other relationship with those that are still with us over here. And she gave everything for us and for everybody around her, because that was what life is all about. I remember also, Mama's in the last days of her life, she's in pain, she's very weak. And then somebody walked into the house, and suddenly she perked up and started talking to him. I couldn't believe where she got the treasures for it. But that's what it was. She had an opportunity to give a smile, to say a nice word, a compliment to somebody. That's what she was focused on from every day of her life to the last days of her life. So we think of it, the world we're living in right now, for many people, it's a lonely world. Everybody is living in their own little bubble with their own machines and their own things disconnected. And as bad as it was before with the present COVID, Corona situation, people are even less physically connected. She gave a message for me and for all of us that what connects us is not just the physical proximity. We yearn to have that back, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is the heart, the legs. Recognition that we're all one, we're all brothers and sisters, or in another way of saying, we're all children of Avinu Shebashamayim. We have one Father who created all of us, sustains us, and cares for us. I think that is what gave her the courage to go through every situation. She realized she was connected, that prime connection to Hashem Baruch Hu. How much courage she put into her tefillah, tehillim. And the ability to see the good in every situation, because you always say, Hashem is running the world. Living in the world of people who take pride in being the self-made man. She took in pride in being God's made woman. And that made her such a great person, because she did everything to follow and exalted nature, like a disposal, to her southern, to Kiev. And more than that, this I'll end with this, is she had a tremendous simchas hachaim. Always found something good. She always liked to make things, but not time to get together. When we got together, she tried to make all types of different things to make it more fun and more enjoyable. When she was with people that were going through hard situations, she always tried to help them see the good things and see the good in life. And the two are connected. We know that simcha, happiness, is a function of being connected. The greatest simcha that one experiences by a wedding. The fact that we have that deep relationship, two completely different people, connect suddenly, that bond creates tremendous simcha. And that's what gave her the simcha. She was always had that bond. This was bounded. Connected. She had the simcha being connected to her creator, Akadosh Baruch Hu, who she went with in every situation. She had the simcha of being connected with her immediate family, for the quarter family, for the friends. A life of never being lonely, but together with all those that are close to her. Today is already the York side. And I remember she saying about my father. That as time goes on, it doesn't get easier. And we feel the same way. We miss her very much, and I know all of us miss her very much. And I'm proud that I'll always miss her so much, because all those wonderful things that she gave us, and we learn so much from, is something that we shouldn't miss. And if we don't miss it, there's something wrong with us. To be so good to strengthen within ourselves, and to be honest, spoke about tefillah, that is the way we connect to our Kodesh Baruch Hu and emulate her ways, whether it be with the tefillah, with the chasodim, with the kir. Bring everybody together. Yitz Hashem, that will bring more simcha to our own lives, and the more simcha that we have for ourselves, the more good we feel with ourselves, the more we go to do good for others. Yitz Hashem, with this, you'll be able to tell us on this vocal. Because vocal, we got the message. We're putting the world in a situation that we're disconnected. We are not going to stay disconnected. We will connect. We'll connect with you, with our feelings for ourselves, and for our whole bodies. We're connected to one another, always keeping in contact and caring for one another. Hashem, Yitz Hashem, will see this. And it will say, Korei Bonai, my beloved sons and daughters, you got the message. It's a time. Finish all this and bring back the grand unification, reunification, not just without the coronavirus, but without this entire goal is of reuniting together to keep us goliath. Once again, thank you very much, everybody, for participating in this and for Landy and the other people that were involved in setting it up. And we should have many healthy, good years together. Sisters and Nahas and everything. Anybody wants to speak, they can.
He's not saying, I want to speak.
He's not speaking.
Actually, his mouth's not moving.
Yeah,